at going to church to hear the Word of God taught or listening to the next 30 minutes of verse-by-verse Bible teaching be a deadly spiritual decision? Find out as John MacArthur looks at a sobering warning from Scripture, one that's relevant for non-believers, new believers, and longtime Christians. That's next on Grace to You Weekend. Welcome, friend. You found another Grace to You Weekend broadcast with pastor and author John MacArthur. Today, John is going to continue a series that will help you know for certain whether or not you're a Christian. The study is called Examine Yourselves. Before we start, something special to tell you about. If detailed teaching of God's Word resonates with you, if you appreciate what you hear on this Grace to You Weekend broadcast, if it helps bring clarity to the Bible and basic Christian doctrine, then there's an event we want to tell you about coming up that you should be a part of. John, how about telling the folks about this Truth Matters Conference?
Right, Carl. It is the Truth Matters Conference. We had a Truth Matters Conference a couple of years ago. We call it that because truth matters. It matters more than anything else. There is no premium on ignorance and error, and this ministry exists to proclaim the truth. And as I look out and see the terrible abuses of the truth that go on in the name of the Holy Spirit in the charismatic movement, I think it's reached a point where it has to be addressed. Let's put it that way. The impact of the current charismatic movement on the church is negative, and it is incalculable. No movement has done more damage to the truth than the charismatic movement. Believers are hopelessly confused about who the Spirit is and what His true work is as well. With that in mind, we're going to call our Truth Matters Conference number 2, Strange Fire, borrowing from Leviticus 10. And we're going to look at the unacceptable worship of the charismatic movement. I'm going to be joined on October 16 to 18 here in Southern California at Grace Church by R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, a pastor from Africa, dynamic man. And we're going to look at this movement and compare it with Scripture. Again, the date's October 16 to 18 on the campus of Grace Community Church here in Southern California. And you need to be a part of this. If you're coming out of the movement, if you're in the movement, but you know something's wrong, if you want to help folks in the movement, again, you can pre-register at truthmattersconference.org.
Again, you can pre-register for the Truth Matters Conference at this special website, truthmattersconference.org. Now, stay with us as John MacArthur helps you understand what it means to examine yourself. And that is the title of the current study, some practical stuff just ahead. Here's John to help you evaluate your spiritual condition.
Now, the book of Hebrews gives us a graphic look at this wonderful warning invitation of God. And I want you to look at Hebrews, and we're going to look at what it has to say. Now, the book of Hebrews is basically written to Christians, Jewish Christians. That's why its title is Hebrews. They were Jewish believers. But, now listen, interspersed throughout the book of Hebrews, which is written to Jewish Christians, are warnings to confront those people, now watch, who know the gospel intellectually, who understand the call of salvation, but never make the commitment. Okay? So as the writer goes along writing to the believers, every once in a while he'll stop and he'll say, now I know that in this congregation, some of you know this is the truth, but you've never made the commitment. And thus there are these warnings. Final warning I want to share with you is in chapter 3 and 4. Chapter 3 and 4. Now I want you to think with me as we go through this rather rapidly, because it's the longest warning in the book. Just going to read some verses and make some comments. Chapter 3, verse 7. Here again, the Holy Spirit stops and says to the person sitting in the congregation, hey, you who know the truth, you who've heard it all, you've had it all given to you, you who want to be religious, you who know it's the truth, please, while the light is still available, before it's too late, before God's grace is over, before God's mercy runs out, please,
say yes to Jesus Christ? Look at verse 7. Wherefore, and then there's a parenthesis all the way down to the end of verse 11. As the Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. See that? Today, he says. Sounds like Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Today, he says. It's now and here and now. And then he gives an illustration. There was a people who hardened their hearts. There was a people who had a day of testing, who had a time of trial, a time in the wilderness. And instead of saying yes to me, and instead of responding, instead of hearing my voice, they hardened their hearts. When was it? Verse 9. When your fathers put me to the test, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Now we know where we are, right? We got the wilderness in verse 8 and the 40 years in verse 9. This is Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. In verse 10, he says, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The word rest there means Canaan. Those people aren't going to Canaan. And it's what happened, isn't it? What happened to the whole generation in the wilderness? They all died, didn't they? God swore they will not enter into my rest. And every last one of that generation died in the wilderness and never entered the promised land. And so he says, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You better look at your own life and make sure you don't do the same thing. Here God is ready to lead you into his rest. Here God is ready to lead you into his kingdom. Here God is ready to usher you into salvation. But you harden your heart and you are caught in the evil act of unbelief departing from the living God. Oh, don't let it happen to you, he says, like it happened to them. You see, there was a day of God's patience running out. He was patient for a while, and then he said, that's enough. And they died in the wilderness and never came to the land that was to be their rest. 400 years of slavery, 40 years of wandering. Oh, how they longed for Canaan, the land of milk and honey, and they never got there. They died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. It's that simple, and I'll show you why in a moment. But rather, he says in verse 13, exhort one another daily, every day exhort. And that's why I'm doing this message. Exhort people every day and say to them, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today is the day. Don't go another day. If you reject Christ today, it'll be easier tomorrow. If it's easy tomorrow, it'll be easier the next day. And so it goes, and you harden yourself. Now listen. God offers a rest to people. It's available. And we enter God's rest by faith. I believe the rest he's speaking of here is salvation. It's not a works system. You enter it by what? By believing, just as you're kept out by not believing. It isn't what you do or don't do. It's what you believe or don't believe. Now, I want you to understand this as we look at chapter 4. I want you to see, first of all, the availability of rest. I want you to hear the invitation that he gives to the people sitting in the right on the fence. Listen, verse 1. Let us, and again, it's the us of the Jewish congregation that he's speaking to, and so I use it to speak of you. Let us therefore fear. Oh, you better fear. Lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I mean, what he's saying is, oh, wouldn't it be fearful to know that God had given us the promise of rest, but we fell short of it? Can you imagine if you were one of those children of Israel living in the bondage of Egypt, how you would be oppressed and how you would be pushed as a slave from one thing to the other and try to make bricks without straw, and you would be beaten and abused and bruised, and for years and years your family had gone through that for century after century after century after century, and finally God sends a deliverer, a mighty deliverer by the name of Moses. Moses had an available life and he gave it to God, and God has him lead these people out. And can you imagine how the Red Sea split and they walked through, turned around, and watched the army of Pharaoh drown down, and they went on and rejoicing, ready to meet the thing that God had laid before them, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, coming out of incredible slavery and bondage, and they all never saw it. See, they dropped dead carcasses wasted in the desert. And he says, you better fear lest God has laid out in front of you the same kind of a promise, the same kind of a Canaan, the same kind of a land of milk and honey, but you never get there. Even though, in a sense, you've escaped from the bondage. It's like Peter talks about, you have escaped the corruptions of the world, you've been brought out of the corruptions of the world, but you never enter into the kingdom of God, you see? You got reformation, not regeneration. Now, there's a lot of people who want Jesus as Savior. They want a deliverer who'll take them out of bondage. They just don't want a Lord they have to trust to lead them into Canaan, see? And you know what happens to people who only want a Savior? They die in the wilderness. They never know God. He is Savior and Lord. And so he says, there is a rest left for us in verse 1. It's, you know, that was just a picture back there, Canaan. That was a picture. There's still a rest. It isn't too late, he says to these Jews. It isn't too late. God has another rest, not a Canaan rest, but a spiritual rest, and it's salvation, and it's still available, and it's still there. And oh, what a tragedy if you should come short of that, as your forefathers came short of Canaan. The rest that he talks about is salvation. So the availability of rest. People, God has extended his love to you. God has reached out his arms and says, there's a rest for you. It's rest. Rest from your self-righteous activity. Rest from your fears. Rest from your anxieties. Rest from your frustrations. Rest from the guilt of sin. Rest. And it's available. And Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise what? Cast out. It's available for anybody who comes. Whosoever will, let him come. It's a rest. But you know, you could know about it and believe it all and sit here and listen to it and come short of it, and your carcass would die in the desert of unbelief, and you never enter the promised land. That's the way a lot of people, they want a Savior to get them out of the bondage. They want a Savior to deliver them from bondage, but they don't want a Lord they have to trust with their life. Look at the basis of rest. Verses 2 and following. You say, well, how do I get this rest? Very simple. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. The good news was preached to them. But the word preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with what? Faith. God told them what the rest was. But because they didn't believe, they were doomed to wander for 40 years and then die. See? And the only reason they wandered was just so they'd all die off. Their carcasses dropped in the desert because they didn't believe. They were ready to be saved out of Egypt. They wanted a Savior. They weren't ready to obey in faith and have a Lord. And what's he saying? Look, he's saying the availability of rest, it's offered. The basis of rest, you must hear the gospel and mix it with what? Faith. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. He says, if it's not mixed with faith, it doesn't matter. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into rest. It's just those who believe who enter in. The next one says, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall never, this is the better translation, they shall never enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, God from the beginning of the world was creating a paradise. That's right. Verse 4, he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day. When God had created everything he created, he rested. He said, now it's going to be like this. I've made a paradise for man. He rested from all his works. And he says, here is the rest I offer a man. But man chose to believe the devil instead of God, and man forfeited that rest. Some will enter, verse 6 says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter into it. But they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And what's that verse saying? Oh, it says this. God will always have a remnant, won't he? God will always have some who enter. There will always be a few. And then comes the plea again in verse 7. It says, and get this one, again he limiteth a certain day. Did you hear that? He limiteth a certain day, saying through David, back to Psalm 95 again, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, you see. It's the same message again. So he says, it's available. You say, well, how? What's the basis of this rest? The basis is that you mix it with faith, that you believe it. If you don't believe it, God swears that you'll never enter into his rest, even though he created the world that it might be for rest, even though he created you that you might enter into his salvation, and even though many do reject, verse 6 says, some will believe. And so he's right back to his same premise. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Oh, what a great statement. If Israel had entered into rest then, Joshua wouldn't have had to talk about a future rest. And I love verse 9. What does he say? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. In other words, that wasn't the end. God didn't just say, oh, curse you, human race. That's it. It's all over. No salvation, no more rest. I quit, I give up, I've done everything for you. You turn your back on me, that's the end of it. No, he didn't say that. He said, well, if you won't take the rest here in Canaan that I offer you in a physical sense, as a symbol of the salvation that I offer you spiritually, I'll keep my arms of grace open until you do. Isn't that great? And so in a general sense, God's grace has always been extended to Israel and to the Gentiles, the whole world. God's arms are still open, and there remaineth, verse 9, a rest to the people of God. And then in verse 10, he says, he that has entered into his rest is ceased from his own works as God did from his. Oh, what a great statement. You enter by faith, not by works. You enter by faith, not by works, and you live by faith, not by works. It's not a works system. It's a rest in the work of Christ, and he works it through us. We don't do it in our flesh. Therefore, verse 11 says, let us labor to enter into that rest. Now, there's a dichotomy. He just says it's a rest, and you don't enter by works, and then he says, let's labor to get in. What does he mean by that? What kind of labor is he talking about? It's not the word labor. It's the word spedazzo, and it means to hurry. Listen, he says, this is a rest that God wants you to enter into. Hurry and enter in, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, after the example of Israel. Don't fall. Well, I've tried to show you the availability of rest, the basis of rest. Verse 11 gives us the urgency of rest. Hasten, make haste to enter the rest. And the rest is salvation, people. He's saying, come on. Come on, how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? What are you going to do if you willfully sin after the knowledge of the truth? It's going to be impossible for you to be renewed under repentance once you have crucified the Son of God and put him to an open shame. If they didn't refuse who said no to the God who spoke out of an earthly mountain, how are you going to escape if you do not hear the voice of God who spoke from heaven? All of these warnings are summed up. And he says in verse 11, let's hurry to enter into God's rest. Don't put it off. Don't neglect. Don't procrastinate. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say when I understand more. Do it now. Give diligence. Why? You say, why? For the word of God is a sword. That's why. Now, sometimes you hear people use this verse to talk about how comforting and how lovely and how wonderful the Bible is. That's not what it's talking about. The word of God is a sword of vengeance. The word of God is a sword of wrath. And the two-edgedness means you can't escape. It goes both ways. Whichever way you move, it'll get you. You see, it will pierce you, and it'll divide asunder your inner being, and it'll reveal your motives, and it'll tear you wide open. That's what he's saying. It's all a picture of a sword plunged into an individual that rips open the joints in the marrow. It discerns the thoughts. It discerns the motives. Listen, the word of God will penetrate the heart of an individual, and even though they've been religious, and even though they've gone to church and hung on the fence and even believed with their mind, the word of God will diagnose the true condition of the heart. It'll show whether the profession is a real one or a sham, and it'll split you wide open before God. Now, see, here the word is presented as a sword wielded in judgment. It is alive. It is powerful. It is sharp. It divides. It discerns. And nothing escapes. You'll never escape this. That's what verse 13 says. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, and all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You'll never escape, because he'll know. He'll know. Now, this isn't an easy message to preach, and I'm not trying to destroy anybody's hope. I just want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to enter God's rest. You know, I know what's going to happen. The Bible tells me. There's going to be a whole lot of carcasses in the desert, and they're going to be very religious people. Very religious. They may believe Jesus died and rose again. And they may have wanted someone to take them out of the bondage of their life, but they never took a Lord in whom they put their faith. And so they'll die in the wilderness. Religious people. Oh, they think it's going to be all right, but it isn't. It isn't going to be all right in the end. It's going to be terrible in the end when the judgment sword of God falls. Today is the day to enter his rest. Listen, if you're trying to get there on your own, or if you think that just knowing it's true is enough, you're wrong. Until you cast yourself on Jesus Christ, you are living in imminent danger of the judgment of God.
It's John MacArthur here on Grace to You Weekend. John is an author, conference speaker, and president of the Master's College and Seminary. The title of his current study on salvation assurance, Examine Yourself. Now, friend, if we could go back to what John said before today's lesson, we're just opening pre-registration at this point in time for the Truth Matters Conference this October. To sign up and to join John MacArthur and other pastors for an honest, biblical look at the charismatic movement, go online to truthmattersconference.org. And keep in mind that you can pick up a copy of John's current study called Examine Yourself. It's a 2-CD album, or you can also order the MP3 files and transcripts. They're downloaded free of charge online. Get your copy as you contact us today. The CDs are a great way to give a friend who's struggling with assurance issues some assurance. The cost is reasonable and shipping is free. You can order the CD album today by calling toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE or just order it online at gty.org. And to take these messages with you on your iPod or iPad, remember that you can download Examine Yourself, that's the current study, or any of John's 3,000 sermons free in the MP3 format. That's online at gty.org. Thank you, too, for your feedback that's more important than you may realize. You can send an email to letters@gty.org or write to Grace to You Weekend, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Keep in mind that conference that John mentioned before today's lesson. It's called Truth Matters, and it's going to focus on the charismatic movement and what Scripture really teaches about the Holy Spirit. That will be happening October 16 through 18 at the Grace Church in the Los Angeles area. For more details and to pre-register, go to that website, truthmattersconference.org. Again, Truth Matters Conference, all one word, truthmattersconference.org. For John MacArthur, I'm your host, Carl Miller, reminding you that Grace to You Television is available every Sunday on DirecTV Channel 378. You can also watch that online at gty.org. Then join us right here next week for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You Weekend.